Well, I apologize about that. We are not in Babylon. I apologize about that. That was the wrong thing. It was not supposed to play, so I apologize. But we are here. You are listening to Mornings with Box 2 Radio, so grab that coffee, scramble those eggs, fry that bacon, and
brew that coffee,
put that hot chocolate in there, put the caramel sauce on top, as long as it's sugar-free, whatever it is. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And let's get ready for Box 2 Radio Network this morning. We are so excited and humbled to have your ear every 2 hours here on the Mornings of Box 2 Radio program. We are thankful and we are full of, as Hannah says, gratitude that we have an opportunity to be with you guys. Amen. Every single weekday. Now, I say every single weekday. We won't be here next Thursday and Friday, but we will be with family enjoying one of the holiday seasons that are coming up here in Thanksgiving. We got some things.
Amen.
We have me and Miss Hannah was talking yesterday that, you know, we have some ideas for next Wednesday's program, the last program before the couple days off for Thanksgiving. And I think we're going to try to pull it off. We'll try to get some people, and we have an idea. We have an idea, a little Thanksgiving program to bring us out into the Thanksgiving break. But we've got a couple of great announcements. Pray for our ball team as they travel today. That's where we'll be traveling with them. I will. Hannah will be. But we're going to be going with them to their tip-off tournament for the season. Excited for them to be able to play. And I'm always excited to spend time with the kiddos and get to just hang out and laugh and smile and enjoy the day and be able to hopefully prayerfully sow seeds of the gospel and discipleship into their lives. And every moment that the Lord gives us isn't a moment to be able to disciple and pour out. And so
Amen.
The Lord is merciful and good and great in those areas. And we should take every opportunity. Discipleship does not solely happen within Sunday morning's confines. Discipleship happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And we are constantly being disciplers. Amen?
Amen.
So, Ms. Hannah, are you still full of gratitude today?
I am. I got it in my attitude. Amen.
I had to stir up gratitude yesterday after seeing the grocery bill. I had to stir up the gratitude that we had the money to pay for it. But it is good.
I did have to stir it up. You know, when you keep confessing gratitude, I think the enemy tries to test you with it.
Oh, yeah.
By testing your attitude when you claim your gratitude. So, yeah, you have to stir it up a lot.
Well, this weekend, I had shared Wednesday night that I'm probably as excited to preach and teach this Sunday morning than I have been in a – not that I'm not always, but, you know, there's just – I don't know. Do you ever have those mornings going into worship? You're just like, I'm extra excited today. Like, it's just – I'm just – this song list, I just feel like the oil is on it.
Yeah.
I feel like – and I'm not saying that to be anything. I just feel like there's – it's a word for this season. I feel such a – heaviness and not a bad heaviness, like it's just a weightiness, I guess a better word to use, a weightiness to it. And so I know that the enemy wants to fight and in those moments to get us distracted. And
well, there's power and expectation too. I've felt like whenever we expect the Lord to move and we have like a vision, and I think that's part of it too.
Yep. Amen. All right. Well, we have Saturday night prayer meeting for Honduras. I'm excited for that. I think we're gonna have we're not gonna have like the full band, I don't think, but we'll have some there that's gonna lead us into some worship as we pray and worship and seek the Lord and really pray into these. And look, I won't even throw the number out there because for me, it's not about the number. It's about the kids that are gonna meet Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I saw a statistic not too long ago. Actually, it was a story. I'll confess, I've been back on Facebook a little bit. It's not everything. It cracks it up self. You know, a little bit of social media I've been doing again lately. And I'm just about already tired of it, so I'm probably going back off sooner than later. It just doesn't click for me no more. And there was a story, though, a testimony that I was reading, and it was talking about I think it was like 21 kids from this one youth group that all these kids basically had perfect Sunday school attendance. They had showed up every Sunday morning while they was in high school and middle school and elementary. But when they went to college, they left their faith completely. Mm. They abandoned it. And it's just, it's so heavy on my heart mm-hmm. that we have to give these kids more than an encounter with church and structure. All both of those are very beneficial. Like, I don't want to be a Christian without assembling in a church. All right? 100%. I want to affirm that. Like, I think the assembling together is very important for the body of Christ. All right? I affirm that. I want to be very clear. Structure, order, and decency is of the Holy Spirit. But so often what we give our kids is stories and rules instead of relationship and encounter and the Word of God. Mm. And we wonder why they leave in college. Mm-hmm. And so my heart is so heavy with this weightiness of what it is. As I did get to go back and listen to most of Jason's sermon, he talked about that, the long game. Mm-hmm. And actually, I believe that I listened to Brother Wayne's sermon not too long ago, too, and I believe he talked about the long game and not keeping it in neutral and keep pressing forward. But we always have to think long term. And in regard to what's going to happen in these kids in Honduras, I'm not praying for just a great VBS. We're going to pray for that. But I'm praying for an encounter with a holy God that forever changes them, because the way that a city and a nation is changed is not just by rules, regulation, and politics. It's changed by the spiritual heart, the heart of a nation coming to a place of repentance and encounter and submission to the Word of God.
Amen.
My heart was just so heavy when I read that. Like, and we can say, well, that's just their choice. That's their choice. But, you know, we read that, what day was it, Hannah, that we did the 10 points of, was it Wednesday or was it Wednesday? I think Jacob was here with us. Usually yeah. I have to remember who his co-host was.
Wednesday, yeah.
And I want to add 11th. You might be operating in a religious spirit if you always blame other people. Like, it's never us. It's always somebody else. And that could very well go along with what we taught Wednesday night of pride, because I need to realize that if good fruit is not coming out of what we're doing, is it God's will? Is God's oil on it? And at some point, somebody, I love this. I saw another picture just recently on social media, and it was like a boardroom of a church, you know, like the meeting place where the leaders would go and meet, the table. I don't know what you call it, the table. We'll call it the table. That sounds very catchy. And on this table, there was a plaque. And so whenever the leadership or the elders of this church would meet, there would be a plaque on this table that always said this. And it was a I want that plaque. This is not a business. This is an altar. Mm. And I loved it. That was the plaque. This is not a business. This is an altar. This is a place where we lay ourselves down. This is a place where we surrender ourselves fully. This is not a place where we just bring new innovative ideas or new ideology or who can we place here to get this stirred up so that we can do this. No, this is a place where we say we're going to lay ourselves down in prayer. We're going to lay ourselves down in submission to the Word of God. And we're going to stay in this altar. And as the oldies used to say, we're going to grab a hold of the horns of the altar until we get revelation, direction, guidance, wisdom, empowerment. Because that is what shifts a nation. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, I pray you so do something in these kids in Honduras and these young people in Honduras that it's not an encounter with a VBS. It's an encounter with a holy God that so shakes the core of their being.
Amen.
And I pray that same encounter over our kids. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come here Saturday night. And I know we're praying over Honduras, but I think the Lord's going to take us into such a deeper place of intercession. Mm-hmm. I think the Lord is calling us to a place. And I would agree with the consensus of so many people. Joe sent me a... We're probably not going to do Hosea today because of our time. And we are going to let Hannah do her Kingdom Corner because I stole it from her 3 times this week. But I want to read this. Joe sent me this morning, if it's okay. He said, this is so good. And I don't know who wrote this, so I don't know who came from this, but it's really good. I heard the Holy Spirit say, get ready for the fire breathers. Heaven is releasing upon the earth a company of burning ones. Preachers, prophets, evangelists, and witnesses who are not merely here to speak the word, but release it like molten fire. These are not casual voices. These are not tame teachers. These are not polished performers seeking applause. These are God's God fire breathers, his flames turned into flesh. The days of sermons without fires are over. The days of messages without evidence are ending. The days of echoing culture instead of comfort confronting darkness are finished. These fire breathers will preach with power and demonstration, not theory and suggestion. Their words will split atmospheres and their voices will tear open rims. They will not tickle ears and they will awaken dead places. They will not coddle comfort and they will confront compromise. They will not dilute truth and they will detonate it. The fiery remnant will provoke the church not into offense but into obedience, not into rebellion but into revival. They will call the bride out of slumber and into her assignment. The ecclesia will feel the burn of the holy word of God once more. Holiness will not be mocked and purity will not be optional. Compromise will not be tolerated, and these voices will rise like flames on watchtowers, crying out, exposing darkness and reclaiming territory. They will stir the body to return to prayer, to fasting, to the word, and to the supernatural boldness that marked the early church. God is bringing out of the ones the world overlooked, the wilderness voices, the cave dwellers, the rejected ones. They are emerging with a message that carries fire because their tears have been the oil that fueled the flame. They carry the roar of victory from battles they thought would kill them. They carry authority because they have wrestled for it. Look for those fire breathers in places where hope has grown cold. They ignite regions. Their words will spark awakenings. Their prayer will unlock wells. Their worship will break demonic cycles and their prophecy will uproot strong codes. They will burn through religious systems that resist the Holy Spirit. They will dismantle counterfeit altars built upon preference instead of presence. And they will release a sound that rattles complacency and summons heaven's armies into motions. The era of safe Christianity is over. The hour of half-hearted devotion is done. And these burning ones will not be controlled, contained, or silenced. They will carry a heavenly mandate to ignite, provoke, awaken, and overturn. Oh, he did give a name, Jessica Jecker, who I don't know who that is, but I thought it was good.
Amen.
And one listener said, did you say fire breathers? Yes. That's what the thing said. I just liked it. Amen.
Dragons. No, just kidding.
Well, fire.
It kind of sounded like something Nate Johnson or his wife would write. That's who I assumed it might have been, but I guess not. That was really good, though.
Amen. So come join us. All that to say, come join us Saturday night, because I think we're going to tap into some intercession. I believe for Honduras, but I believe it's going to become so much deeper than Honduras, because I don't know about you, but our children need revival. We need an awakening, and we must be shaken out of slumber. Mm-hmm. We must. And look, when we talk about this, I'm not talking about shaking out of slumber so that we are more church active. I'm talking about shaking out of slumber so that our hearts would burn for him again. Mm-hmm. I mean, burn. I noticed in my own heart, like, you ever just been sitting there, and I remember there's a day when I burn to just sit there in the presence, and now so often I sit there and want to watch a television show. I want to relax. I want to do this, and I want that deep yearning for his presence to overwhelm us in the body of Christ again. Not so we can have better church. Like I'm so sick of better church. Like, I don't think I can. I am so sick of quote unquote just better church. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for something that transforms us. I'm looking for a glory that overwhelms us. I'm looking not for better organizational Christianity or institutionalized Christianity. I'm looking for something that burns our heart, as Brother Tim had told us the other day, for perspective and passion for souls. I want to burn for that broken one on the street corner. I want to burn for the marriage that's about to fall apart. I want to burn for my children to know him. I want to burn for your children to know him. I want to burn for our teenagers to grow in grace and mercy and the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want to burn for our school to be in revival. I want to burn for Grayson County and Brett County and Meade County School to be in revival. I want to burn for the addict to be delivered. I want to burn for his presence, because it's only in his presence that we find anointing, and it's only anointing that breaks the yoke. And this is the season, and I don't think I could agree more with the sermon that Brother Wayne had preached last Sunday at Potter's Hope of, there's no more time to waste. Like, we have an open window, and now is the season we have to step into. And it's no wonder that it seems like for so many people, apathy and complacency, or just these things are happening. Or I know yesterday, I'll confess, I got angry in a way that I've not got angry, I feel like, in a while. And it's a revealing of my own heart. And it's like the Holy Spirit is giving us this opportunity to repent and to begin to ascend the hill of the Lord with his, it's a window of grace to go deeper into his kingdom than we've ever imagined. But I don't believe this window will be open forever. And that's not manipulation. Like, I'm not a prophet either, so I'm not prophesying. But I believe there's a window and a door of entrance into a deeper place in his kingdom, that it's an invitation for the sheep and the tares, the goats and the sheep. Which one are we going to be? It's an invitation. It's going to be, I can see it as, have you ever seen them work sheep before? And all these sheep are running through, and some sheep go this way, and they open the gate and let them this way, and some are going through. I almost see that in the spirit right now, that there is a great, and I don't know how else to say it, there's a great separation happening in the body of Christ. There's a great separation happening in the body of Christ. And there's a sheep and a goat. There's a wheat in the tare. There's this dividing fork that's happening. And we must choose ye this day, which gate am I going to go? And I feel like there's an open door. And for those who's willing to say yes in this season, I am not saying to you, you're going to experience the greatest church services you ever had. I'm not saying to you, if you're a pastor, your church is going to explode to thousands and thousands of people. I'm saying that there's an entrance into his presence and into a place of communion and into a place of dwelling that we can never imagine. And if you are more preoccupied with the crowd than you are the cloud, this is an invitation to begin to learn the cloud. And I believe that there's a season of the winnowing fork that's above us, that we are in right now. And there's two gates. And we have to determine, do I want to go along with the religious system of the America church, or am I ready to enter into a deep place of the kingdom of God? Because I don't think we can do both. Because I think the American church has left the kingdom, and they built their own. And I believe the Holy Spirit is here for a opening of a season to say, which one will you abide in? I'm not anti-church. I'm very pro-church. I want to give my life to serve her. But the institutionalized Christianity that we see that has developed and encapsulated America, we cannot say it's fruitful. I think Jason Miller said it best on that sermon. He said he was at the, what kind of event was it? Was it a pride event in Illinois?
I think so.
And he said the thing that got him the most was the fact that in this pride event, he saw booth after booth of churches set up. That wasn't there to pray with people, wasn't there to love people. They were there to endorse, condone, and affirm people. Something that's opposite of what Scripture has said. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shut up after this statement, Hannah, because I'm like in a monologue, and I didn't mean to do this. But
no, it's good. It's on target.
Wall Builders last night. I listened to it on the way home from the grocery store. And if I don't know how you can go back and listen to previous wall builders. I don't even know if that's possible. I mean, we may have the file and I may listen to it again. But he had basically, he was walking through the modern day church. And statistically, amongst, this was startling to me, statistically among born again Christians, confessing born again Christians, did you know the divorce rate is higher amongst them than it is amongst the atheists?
Wow.
The church has a higher divorce rate from confessing born again Christians. Divorce rate is higher in the church than it is in atheism.
Wow.
He just went stat upon stat upon stat of the condition of the American church. And for me, it's frightening. And there's a season that I believe the American church has to repent. And if we don't, he will come and take the lampstand away. He's coming to take it away. And I think we are in this door, and he's given us this season of grace to open our eyes. And I might be able to pull that file up and play that broadcast instead of the sermon that we're going to play, because we got to leave at 8. And I might be able to pull that up and play that, because it was worth the listen. It was startling. It was revealing. And he talked about how, you know, the church must engage in issues that are biblically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said a lot of these things are never new. We faced and fought them in sermons for a long time, but it was really good. I don't know if I can pull that up or not. I'll try to see what I can, but I don't know if I have time. But it is a door, and it is a season. And all this is parallel just off our prayer meeting on Saturday night. I can't stress enough how important prayer is in this season. And not just public prayer, but private prayer. If you don't have a war room at home, go clean out a closet and make a war room. Find a place of prayer. Find a place of his presence. Find a place where you can spend time with him and him alone. And look, I get it. I got kids running out of everywhere. Like, you can't say, well, I got kids. I got a family. No. Like, I get it. Like, I'm there. And I'm not perfect in my private prayer, but I need a prayer chamber. I got to have a war room. I've got to be in prayer, because as I made the statement Wednesday night, if I think I can fix my kids out of this, I'm wrong and I'm in pride. The way revival happens is when we fully submit and surrender and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's what repentance really is. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from my sin, and I'm going to go under the shadow and the wing of the Almighty. And so, sorry for my monologue. I've dominated that time, Hannah, but I feel like there is such an open door. And it's a, I don't want to say it any other way, it's a season of grace, because we didn't earn this season. Mm-hmm. In fact, we don't deserve it. But I believe in his grace, because the Lord is so rich in grace and mercy that he is giving us this season to repent. And you could say, well, I'm doing fine. I'm great. I'm doing this. There comes a time when it becomes bigger than just us. We have to see the American church. And as Ezekiel tells us, we have to be watchmen who will cry aloud. And we must repent for things that we may not have personally done, but our nation has done. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where we, as maybe you say, I'm great, Aaron. I've not done anything. Okay, great. Like, kudos. But we are part of an American church that has. And when,
that's a good point.
And when Jesus gave John the revelation to write, he didn't say to the evil ones in the church of Laodicea. No, he said to the church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
And so this is the season where we have to come into repentance. As we have said, it may not be an I. It says it may be a we have done this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the church. And so, I'm going to hush.
It's been good. I'm gleaning. I can't tell you how many times I've heard those same words about the closing window. like, it's been person after person. Like, it's definitely confirmation. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And honestly, what you're talking about with digging deeper in this season, that was Miss Renee's entire message at the ladies' meeting, too. It was all about digging deeper. So, I mean, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is speaking the same things to all of us. So I think he is really trying to get our attention. But at the same time, I don't know if you noticed this, but I feel like you said, with the anger, the revealing things in our own heart, I feel like the enemy is really coming against and trying to distract us even worse and harder, because the Lord is trying to get our attention. So just to be encouraged and to press in. And I think we really need Saturday, honestly. I think you should just clear your schedule and come if you weren't planning on it, because I think there's something about coming together corporately and humbling ourselves and seeking his face and turning from our wicked ways and hearing from him. Mm-hmm. So, and he says he will hear from us in that scripture if we do all those things. He said, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. And so I think there's something about coming together with a common goal of just hearing from him. And I think that a lot of us could use it. So it's mm-hmm. been a long time since we've done a prayer and worship night.
Yeah. And I'm just not ready for it. I know I need it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know I think it's going to be significant, and that's not, I mean, honestly, it's going to be significant if three of us are, if it's just me, Hannah, Heather, and Todd, we'll still do it. And it's going to be significant because I know the Lord wants to see a people that will draw near and go into his presence. And I just, I believe that intercession, and I believe that prayer still works.
Amen.
And so, God's not looking, I think, I don't remember who said this. I want to say Wesley said it, but I'm not 100% sure. God's not looking for better men. He's looking for, and I'm gonna butcher this. I'll just change the phrase a little bit. God's not looking for better men with better methods. He's looking for men that will give themselves to prayer, the word, and obedience. And obedience is not like legalism. I'm talking obedience and submission to the full word of God, not just how you dress. That's important, but I'm talking about loving your neighbor. I'm talking about obedience is greater than sacrifice. I mean, it's just the full counsel. I want to devour the full counsel. I don't want to just hit the big ones or the ones I like or the scriptures that fit my mindset. I want to submit my mind, my heart, and my hands and my feet and my tongue to the fullness of scripture. And I don't want to do it for a season. I don't want to do it. I think that's the, I don't know about you, but do you see that so often in my own life? I see that where I burn for a season and I try to burn. You burn really hot.
Yeah.
But then you get cold as fast as you get hot, because mm-hmm. we're seasonal Christians. And I think he's looking for consistent Christians that are consistent. Don't look for the big burn. Look for the consistent burn.
Yeah. That's good.
Well,
it's just figuring out how to do that.
That's the age-old question, right? That is the age-old question. So come out and be with us. All that to say, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. There's a lot of good announcements that we do want to get out. Kingdom Mission Church is going to be handing out 40 Thanksgiving meals. That's going to be
This Sunday.
Pickups at 2:30. I do believe they're having a meal right after service too. Is that correct?
I think I did see that. But Brother Whitney, he asked if we would get the word out for him. So after their church service, and it looks like it'll be after the meal, they're going to be handing out those baskets. So there's enough for 40 different families, and each family, it would feed 5 to 6 people mm-hmm. each basket. So right there at the church, the pickups at 2:30.
That's awesome. And then also Thanksgiving meal giveaway November 26th. Silman's Lawn, Land, and Tree LEC is honored to partner with their Kingdom First Worship Center there in Caneyville, Kentucky, and they're going to be giving away. They're looking to feed 100 to 300 people with hot Thanksgiving meals, and that's going to be November 26th, 4 to 7 o'clock p.m. there in Caneyville, Kentucky. So Pastor Chris and Miss Tasha, Pastor Chris and Tasha Edwards, leads that charge there. Just love what God's doing at that church.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
I mean, we had talked to Miss Debbie, and there wasn't anybody else doing it until that announcement. But other than them, there wasn't anybody else in Grayson County.
So,
and then Brother Whitney and them are covering Hardinsburg. So
praise the Lord. Praise be unto God for that. And so if you know somebody that needs a hot meal, send them one of their ways. And if you don't know how to get in touch with either one of them, get in touch with me or Miss Hannah, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Amen.
And if you need food, if you are food insecure right now, or you need food, there is plenty of avenues to do it. Don't let pride keep you in hunger.
Yes. We have some resources here, and we know more people with more resources.
Yes. We are blessed to be able to start. We've really started to see a growth in that area of just, and you know, and that's what 1 Timothy 6 is telling us, to be ready to be good, to do what God has blessed us with, to be ready to do good, to be rich in good works, to be ready to share into those who are needy and poor. Because remember, and always remember what Ezekiel tells us, that the sin of Sodom was her pride, and her pride kept her from giving to the needy and the poor. And it was an abomination to the Lord, and that is why he took them out. That's what Ezekiel tells us. And
I should have flipped over to Ezekiel, because we were talking about this in a Bible class. So we're still on it, though, so I might go back to
Yeah,
that.
Said, remember the sin of your sister Sodom, her pride, and she failed to give aid to the poor and the needy, and did an abomination to the Lord, and that is why he removed them. Let's see. Ezekiel.
Well, that just shows you what, like, the root of pride can do and where it can lead you to.
That is, let me see. I'll give you the exact scripture reference if anybody wants it, and if you want it for your young ones. Ezekiel 16:49. Ezekiel 16:49 is where that's found.
Ezekiel 16.
And I'm thankful that so many churches and so many people, I'm thankful for Miss Sia here that has had the heartbeat to coincide with what Miss Sue's already doing in the Remnant Store too. And Miss Sia stepped up and said, we need to have a food bank. We need to be able to give food. We got to have some place that we have food ready to give. And we had it in the food bank. We have it in the Remnant Store as well. And Miss Sue does a tremendous job there. But as many avenues as we can to help and to serve and to love people well. And I can see a time when it grows much larger than any room, either room, can contain. And so, because it is the mission of the church to serve and to love and to give, and to give to those who are poor, give to those who are needy, give those who are hurting, give those who are in a rough time, or, you know, you don't have to be just no money. You could be going through a transitional period in life where, you know, maybe you lost your job, or maybe you do this and you're in between jobs. It doesn't matter what money you've made, you can still go hungry. And I think the church is here to make sure that we're not going hungry. And too long we've asked the government to do the church's job. And then we get mad at everybody for being dependent upon the government. But at the end of the day, if the church did her job well, and the church did what she's called to do well, we would be giving, but also discipling. And I love it. Like, I know I can even see that heartbeat in Miss Debbie when we talk to her, just how she wants to help, she wants to serve, but her and alongside a group in Grayson County, and, you know, Miss Brenda Sims was part of that group too. Like, they don't want to just help, because they do help, but they also empower.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the church is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be, we are going to give to anybody in need. If you're hungry, we want to help you eat. But we're not trying to get you just to eat for a day. We want to be able to help you get back on your feet, to disciple, to love you. That takes grace. That takes patience. That takes a long game. It's not fixed overnight. But when the church really does what she's called to do, we'll change cities. And what she's called to do, and this is where I'll hit some of this Sunday morning. It's amazing to me that Jesus came, died on a cross, tore the veil, broke the box, and then 2,000 years we've spent rebuilding the veil, building another box, and saying, you must come to here to experience the glory of God.
That is true.
It's what we've done. This is the story of Christianity. Jesus broke the box, took his presence out of a box, out of a veil, out of a room, and put the presence, put his very DNA, put his very Holy Spirit in us so that the glory of God would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. As we go, the kingdom goes. And he's telling us to go and preach the gospel. Go, 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 go. Like, that is the word you so often from Jesus, go. And he breaks the box, put Holy Ghost inside of us so that we can go in the power of the kingdom. And then 2,000 years, we've built another box, built another system, built another temple, built another tabernacle, and say, if you want to encounter God, you must come to the house.
Mm.
It's amazing to me that we've done this, but this is where we're at.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday because, I don't know, it just seems like, and what we've been talking about with the Lord moving outside of the church, I think that's why, is when we start to, it's honestly, it's kind of lazy, I guess, when we just want the Lord to come. And it's also cheapening our relationship with him, because if we settle for meeting with him in church, then that's one time a week or two times. So we're cheapening.
Mm-hmm.
It, and whereas he wants to meet with us, but then not just meeting with us in relationship, but also like the gifts, like spiritual gifts and signs, wonders, miracles, all those things we want. I don't know why we want those so bad in the church, like in services, but we are fine not seeing them outside.
Yeah. Like, I saw a man yesterday at a grocery store, and his leg was so swollen up. And it's like, he should probably have that checked out. Like, that looks bad. Why are we not the ones that are, hey, sir, I know a man that can fix that. You know, and I think that it's this thing is for souls. Like, what we do on Sunday morning is very important because it assembles together and equips us for the kingdom. But it equips us to go on the mission field. And that mission field is your neighbor. That mission field is your neighborhood. That mission field is your family. That mission field is your workplace. That mission field is the corner on the street where people are broken and hurting. That mission field can be anywhere, but what we do on Sunday morning, it's not about, Jesus really didn't, like, the New Testament church was like, don't come to the synagogue and experience the glory of God. Like, no, it's like, we're going to go pray, and then we're going to go to the street, and people's going to experience the glory of God right where they're at. Because no longer is the Holy Spirit found in a room inside the tabernacle or the temple in a box. He is now dwelling in you and I, and that's a significant thing. He broke the system.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke the system so that he can dwell in you and I.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful picture, and yet we've taken 2,000 years to rebuild our own system. And in essence, what I'm most fearful of is that we've built a modern-day Babylonian system. And we expect God to dwell in it instead of us dwelling within his presence and his glory. It's not about disorder. It's not about this, but it's not about us. It's not by our might, but by the Spirit of God. And the moment you think, well, this can't happen without me, is the moment that you need to hit your knees and cry out for forgiveness for pride. Because you're operating in a spirit of haughtiness. Because we've got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, I can't. This is what I'm realizing. I can't fix this. I can't just snap my fingers and everything's changing. We've got to submit to prayer, to the Word of God, and obedience to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And operate with a humble, gentle heart. I was not gentle yesterday. And the Lord rebuked me. I repent. I wasn't gentle. I wasn't humble. Pride got in there. Arrogance. Just what we taught on Wednesday night. Like, I'm not sitting here as a pretender saying I'm perfect. I'm sitting here saying somebody, I'm so hungry for something more because I'm tired of seeing our teenagers sit on the back pew. I'm tired of seeing church after church that is broken and dysfunctional. I'm tired of seeing secretaries, not ours, but secretaries embezzling money. I'm tired of seeing religion and religiosity overwhelming us. I'm tired of seeing all these kind of things, and all we do is sit here and say, we must change, but we're not praying and seeking His face. We just declare the problem, and that's the open season and the door of grace that He has given us. That half-hearted, apathetic, complacent Christianity must end. Because I'm not sitting here trying to be a good lifestyle Christian. I'm sitting here saying, I need His presence, and I need His empowerment, and I don't need the bracelet, what would Jesus do? I need the seal on my heart until the day of redemption, and that is Holy Spirit of God.
I think that's the war, that's the separation that we're talking about right there. Presence or lifestyle, the lifestyle of the appearance, presence or appearance of.
Yeah, I mean, I want the holiness, but I think sometimes we're just looking. I think that what we look for is good, and what we should be looking for is godliness. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of modern day Christianity is built around making you good.
Yeah.
And I think you can be unquote, what the world calls good. Basically, what we're looking for is moral people. And what the kingdom looking for is Christ-like people.
The problem with that, though, is the good old Christians has a lot of tradition, preference, and opinion added in there. It's not solely based off the Word of God.
Yep. And I fall victim to that. Like, I very much do that as well. And I would, do you remember when you first started reading the Word? I remember I was 18.
I was so young.
It's hard. But I didn't really get in the Word. And when I was 18, I remember I opened the Bible every single night after I got born again, and I would read like 10 chapters a day. And it was so alive. Like, I didn't know much. Like, even though I was I grew up some in church, it was kind of like, I remember sleeping, I remember basketball, I remember playing, I remember the puppets when I was younger. But I don't remember many sermons. I don't remember much teaching. I don't remember any of that. I remember sleeping, basketball, and puppets. And I remember 18, I didn't have all of this tradition or wisdom or anything like that. I just had the Word. And I was like, oh my gosh. I remember starting in Matthew thinking, I gotta love my enemies. Like, I remember this coming to Revelation to me. I was like, what's these Beatitudes? I remember studying the Beatitudes. I remember the Word instructing me.
Yeah.
And now I'm guilty of taking the Word and be like, oh, Calvin taught this, or Wesley taught this, or Luther said this about this scripture. And I'm not against any of that, because I think it's very beneficial to believers to have those voices, especially giant voices that have changed and revolutionized the church. But I want to get to where Holy Spirit, show me. What is the Word really trying to teach me? Not what did Calvin try to teach me. And as much, I mean, everybody knows I love Calvin. Everybody knows I love A.W. Tozer and E.M. Bounds and all these, but like, not are what they teaching me. What is the Word of God trying to teach me? Mm-hmm. Not does, like, I see all these Facebook things of like, you want your church to grow 400 people tomorrow? Do this guest relation things. Or, you know, you want to get the best youth group, put the ping pong table in there, or this or that. And I'm like, no, like, they, I don't want to compete with the world. Mm-hmm. I don't need their tricks. I don't need CEOs' ideologies because I'm not trying to build a business. I'm trying to build an altar. And I love that table plaque. I want one of those plaques in my office. I want that plaque that says, this is not a business. This is an altar. Mm-hmm. The church was never a business. The church was an altar. That's to lay their life down at it. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, I surrender everything. If we would stop building businesses and start building altars, what would the church look like?
Mm. Amen.
What would it look like if we built an altar instead of a business?
It's crazy how this lines up with our chapter that we're in with the middle schoolers, because the whole thing is talking about the will of God and how do we, you know, what is the will of God? Keeping his commandments. But it literally talks about Sodom and Gomorrah in there. We talked on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about altar. Like, it talks about the difference between Abraham and Lot was that Abraham stayed at his altar, but Lot didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And look where he ended up.
Yeah.
And, you know, just breaking down what is an altar. What's the purpose? Like, that's what we did. We just made a flow chart of... We take so long on each thing, but we just made a flow chart of what is an altar. Why do we have altars? What's the purpose of them? What are we doing at them? And the thing that really stuck out to me was like us laying down our life. Like we love because he first loved us, but also he first laid down his life. Now we lay down ours. Mm-hmm. He was the first sacrifice, but now our bodies are the sacrifice. And that we know these things in our mind, but to really think about it, like dying daily, you know, mm-hmm. like it's, and then, you know, I broke that down even further because I'm like, okay, now what's it mean to die daily? That means everything that we want has to die every single day.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard. Whew. That is very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just reminding ourselves of what that means, you know, what the altar is. It's us dying. But when we die, what we want dies and we let it actually die, like we don't keep trying to hang on to it and hide it and not actually sacrifice it, then we start to receive so much. Like, we think that the thing we're holding on to is what's going to make us happy. But once we finally let it die each and every day, like, we get to receive the joy, all the things that we want. That our spirit is seeking for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's such a deception to think that the things that we want to hold on to is going to sustain us, because they never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, there's so much. I feel like this was not the intention of this morning. Like, honestly, when I got in the car this morning, I was thinking what we'll do is announcements, and then we'll just do Bible Q&A instead of doing Jose. I did not plan this monologue, I did not plan to say any of this morning, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting to Kingdom Corner because it don't really have any. Well, the beginning part does have something to do with it, but none of the rest of it really.
I'll leave that up to you. If you want to do it, we got 10 minutes or.
No, you can. Were you about to say something?
There was one listener that said it's the same principle, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit that. The podium or the pulpit became a stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I would love for the era of stages to go away in the body of Christ. Pulpits are a place of preaching, but I liked it better. I like it whenever, you know, you had the olden days, like, you know, it was kind of like the pulpit was flat. And everybody else was kind of because of they needed the sound, the acoustical sound to travel, so they would, you know, people would be high.
Oh, so people were on like risers.
So the pulpit was kind of here, and I know where people say like the Word of God should be the highest place, but we have put people on stages, and we've exalted people. I've I I actually, the more and more I think about it, the more I love the whenever stages are being taken out and the worship team and the preacher are putting on the same level. Like, you know, I love that. I used to kind of like, that's just a fad, but I think there is a lot of spiritual declaration in that.
I haven't even really seen much of that, but me and Kaylee have been praying for this for like 2 years, so amen.
There is a lot of ministries that are doing that. They're taking the stage out.
We literally, like, when we were praying about this and talking about this, and we were like, what if we just hide somewhere? What if we just hide in the midst of everyone?
You know, I just, this is the, it's an entrance into the nameless, faceless, generational revival that we need to see birth in the nation, where it stops being about big names and popularity and fame, and there's no name but the name of Jesus. There's no king but the King Jesus. Eddie James said something really good on, again, Facebook.
I haven't crossed paths with Eddie James on Facebook.
Yeah, he said something really good on it because, of course, I don't know the fullness of this, but supposedly the number one listened artist right now in Christian is an AI artist. It's not even a real person.
Oh, I saw it. Forrest Frank talked about that.
Yeah, Forrest Frank talked about it. And actually, Eddie responded with Forrest. Because Forrest had a really good comment about it, just like, you better be careful about it because AI can't have the Holy Ghost. And Brandon Lake actually come out and said some things too. And so there's actually several artists that have come out and spoke against this AI artist. It's not even a real artist. It's just an AI, and they're worshiping and people is loving it. But it was, Eddie said, before this AI problem, the worship team has already had an AI problem. The I. And I would not limit it just to worship people. I think it's ever, we've had an I problem.
Yeah.
Like I. It's like, you know, it's that, what was that? There was a cartoon or movie, we don't say the name, but I remember there's these little critters that just going around saying, I. I think it was actually a cartoon series that, I think, and they just go around, I. And it's like, stop it. But I think I've had that problem. See, I just said, we've had that problem. And it's,
well, remember your dream. I think about that dream often. Like, it actually too much about not singing about ourself, like making sure it's lifting up Jesus.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of songs do that.
It's an I. It's become an I thing. And I didn't get to watch the whole video that Eddie put out, but I just saw that and I was like, that's so true. Like, before AI, we've already had an AI problem. It's us. And as John the Baptist so well put, I must decrease and he must increase. Paul says it the same way. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ in me. You said it very well earlier. I only become the sacrifice. I only become the offering. And however he wants to use me is fine. But the season of the I, it must be surrendered to the we, to the him. It's the him. It's the
Ooh.
He.
I feel like I just kind of got a revelation about being a sacrifice. So I was thinking about like a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And like if something is burning, then it's going to be the right aroma. You know, because it's burning. But if something just comes near to the altar, but it doesn't actually burn, then it's just rotting. It's just sitting there, and I feel like that's how it is. Like the Lord has these things that He wants us to give to Him, but they're just sitting there and rotting, and there's no pleasing aroma that comes from something that's just rotting. Even if you think about like rotten fruit, it does not have a pleasing aroma. But the Lord wants to, you know, have something that's burning, and so He can pour more into us. So, yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, we're getting ready to go to break, which will be the end of today. And I'm trying to get this back in here so that I'm going to try to rerun that program from Wall Builders yesterday because I thought it was just so good, and I thought it would be very good for us to hear. I'm trying to get that done. But one thing I want to do before we leave, because I just feel like it's the morning for it, is, Hannah, I do want to, I want you to lead us in prayer, and just pray for us going into the weekend, that our hearts would be pure, but that I don't want to pray for good church. I want to pray for the glory of God to come, and I want to pray for life to be changed, for eyes to be opened, for dead men to come back to life, for the glory of God to be made manifest. I'm not just looking for good sermons and good songs. I want the glory of God. I want the, as Joe sent me, the fire of God to pour out into a generation. Mm-hmm. And so,
okay. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and we do honor you and your presence throughout this morning. God, thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you that you meet with us and you speak to us and speak through us, Lord. We couldn't do anything without you. And we need your words, Lord. And I just pray, God, for this weekend, Lord, that as we go into the weekend, that we wouldn't just wait for Saturday or wait for Sunday and just be complacent, Lord, but we would actively wait, Lord. I pray that you would start to birth things and stir things in us now before we ever gather together corporately. I pray that you would start putting people on our heart to intercede for, to pray for. I pray that you would show us, speak to us about what's going on in us, Lord, that you want to expose and deal with. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you will send people in our path to pray for us, that we will be able to pray for one another. And I just pray that we wouldn't just be satisfied with having a good time, but Lord, we would have a time that it may not be the type of goosebumps and service that we think it's going to be, Lord, but that there's going to be substantial change, Lord, that things are going to die in your presence and they are not going to be picked back up because they are dead. Lord, if it's dead, it can't be picked back up. And I just pray that, Lord, that the things we keep trying to leave at the altar or hide and not actually sacrifice, Lord, let them be burnt up. Lord, I pray that those things will be burnt up. And God, I just thank you for what you're going to do in Honduras. I pray you would prepare their hearts, Lord. Prepare the hearts of those over there. And let our hearts be just unified in your presence. And I pray, God, that we would hear, Lord, your word says, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says. If we have things blocking our ears, Lord, remove it. Clean out our ears, Lord, so where we can hear what your Spirit is speaking this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, everybody as they gather together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We love you. We bless you. Don't take this season of grace, this open door, lightly. Too many preachers, too many prophetic voices have confirmed this, where two or three, I mean, like, I heard like two or three people in the same day use the word, don't stay in neutral. And I don't think they're listening to each other. It's just the word, it was a word for a day, don't stay in neutral. This is the season to press the gas, to press into the presence. Build your altar. Don't build a business, build an altar. In the name of the Lord Jesus, be blessed. Go and tell somebody of his goodness and of his greatness today. In Jesus' name, we love you, we bless you, and we'll be back, beloved, Monday morning, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, on the Box 2 Radio Network.